constellations we never know. The darkness of North Ontario.
Back to CFRA Live. You are listening to Constellations. It's the latest offering from Meredith Moon and her new album. The multi-instrumentalist and songwriter set to play here at Irene's Pub in Centertown on April the 9th. And she joins us to chat about that latest offering. Meredith, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I like that latest offering.
I've never heard that one. The latest on the menu, you know what I mean? Yeah. Coming from Meredith Moon these days. But it's also it's a good Saturday morning track as well, and a rainy day here in Ottawa too. But just kind of getting into the, I guess, the new album as well. People may not know, just to get this out of the way as well, that you are the daughter of Gordon Lightfoot, legendary Canadian singer and songwriter. I was just kind of wondering, as a musician, you know, you often want to be, you know, your own identity. Just, you know, how much more of a challenge does that become with someone like Mr. Lightfoot as your father?
It's definitely been a challenge, but I think I just honestly about 10 years ago, I kind of fell in with the right musical crowd who, you know, I never told them anything about my family, and they wanted to support my music, and and then here we are now, I guess. So it was a bit of a challenge, but yeah, I definitely wanted to prove to myself that I didn't need to use a name to pursue my passions. So,
well, we're glad you didn't fall in with a bad musical crowd either, because we know how that that can turn out. But just looking at this latest offering, you know, there is a lot of bright and shiny kind of aspects of this album. Perhaps it's been a crazy couple of years for musicians, both writing and touring. Just where does this album come from for you?
Well, I mean, yeah. So about half of the album was completed pre-COVID, and then I guess once lockdowns lifted and stuff, and I was able to sort of plan a release show. I went in and added a bunch more to it, swapped out a couple songs, and then released it at a later date. So I think that half of the album has the perspective of somebody who hadn't experienced a pandemic, and then the other half does. So, yeah, there's definitely two sides to the coin on this one.
Well, and everybody can kind of relate with that aspect too. How different is it for the second half of the album? I guess one would think, you know, the first half there's a normal process for Meredith, but in the second half, kind of coming to grips with the pandemic, not being able to kind of perform live in front of people. I guess how does that become? Or how does that kind of factor into kind of new writing at that point?
I suppose it would add another level of introspection to anyone's craft, sitting with yourself alone a lot more. And lots of time to work on songs. So
well, it can be terrifying for many, sitting with our own thoughts, but to turn it into music and art like that is obviously a talent to it as well. When it comes up to this Ottawa show, I guess if people didn't know Meredith, your music, or they didn't have an understanding of your music, you're obviously great on the banjo as well, but how would you kind of identify your own music to those who wanted to check you out at Irene's on April 9th?
I would say it's a mix of, the singer-songwriter folk stuff and Appalachian banjo fiddle tunes. So if you like both of those things, then I would suggest coming to the show. It'd be a really fun time.
And just wondering kind of on that aspect, just this, you know, the banjo Appalachian style, just what made you kind of, I guess, set your sights towards that in terms of as a musician and songwriter?
I think that I was quite into folk music, generally speaking, and folk revival sort of era music as a teenager. And then from there, I found the influences of those musicians, which happened to be old-time and bluegrass musicians like Doc Watson and et cetera. So I think that's what took me to that realm. And then I think I got into banjo because that instrument is sort of the epitome of that genre of music.
No kidding. Especially when it's performed well as well. When we're looking at the track listing here, we played a little bit of Constellations. Do you have a favorite off the new album?
I think that my favorite is Slow Moving Train.
Okay.
because it's the most fun to play.
Always fun. Well, we're talking about you're heading here to Ottawa, but where else are you taking Constellations out on the road this time around?
So today we're in Peterborough. Tomorrow we're in Orillia. And then we have Guelph and then Ottawa. And Wakefield, I suppose.
Oh, very nice.
On Saturday. Or I think it's Friday or Saturday.
I'll look it up. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. It's been a long week.
Doing Ontario proud, no doubt, this week. I know you've toured across Europe and other places as well. Is that the plan for this summer, perhaps? Is it to take this a little further?
It is, actually. I haven't posted the dates yet or announced it, but for those listening who happen to be in the UK or know someone there, we're going to be taking it to the UK at the beginning of August.
You can get a taste here in Ottawa on April 9th. But Meredith, thanks so much for joining us this morning and chatting about the new album. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. And I hope the sun comes out for you there.
We hope so, too. We'll play some more of your music to hopefully challenge the gods a little bit here. But thank you, Meredith.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Meredith Moon, multi-instrumentalist and songwriter, of course. Her latest album called Constellations. We heard a little bit of that song as well coming back from the break. She's going to be performing at Irene's Pub in Centertown coming up on April 9th, so you can check that out as well. 10 songs in the new album, as she said, half and half. Half written before the pandemic, half written after. But album release concert coming up or happening last night in Toronto, which is why Meredith is saying it's been a long week, but also getting ready to sit here to play in Ottawa. As I mentioned, daughter of Gordon Lightfoot as well. Very interesting, as I mentioned, and asked of her, how do you make it as an artist without trying to use your family connections as a crutch? And it seems like that was a distinct want for her as well. But some great songs on this new album as well called Constellations, which you can find on Spotify. 10:13 here on CFRA Live. As I mentioned, rainy out there, just about zero still here, but we're going to be going up exponentially here. Let's see. Oh, no, we are up to 1 degree now. But the high 13 degrees today. This rain will stick with us. It will be windy as well. But just not an April Fool's Day joke. 13 degrees out there expected for a high today. Talk about April Fools and a few more other things coming up on the other side of the break as well. Also still to come at the bottom of the hour. Chat a little bit more about a thrifting trend that continues to grow across the country. Goodwill planning to open more than 40 stores across Canada. This a good thing, a bad thing in terms of this is showing with a sign of the times right now? We'll talk about that coming up near the bottom of the hour as well. Keep those texts coming as well. 580-580, tweet us at CFRA Ottawa. Has anybody got you good so far for April Fool's Day? An hour and 45 minutes left for all those out there. Went over a few that have been snaking around local internet, but we'll go over those as well coming up in the course of the next hour, and we'll go over some of your texts as well. Lots still to come between now and 11 o'clock here on CFRA Live. I'm Andrew Pinson, in for Christy Campbell.
The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down at the big lake they call Gitche-Gumee. The lake, it is said, never gives up her dead when the skies of November turn gloomy. With a load of iron ore, 26,000 tons more than the Edmund Fitzgerald weighed empty. That good ship and true was a bone to be chewed when the gales of November came early.
Take us with you on your Apple CarPlay or Android Auto through your iHeartRadio app. It's CFRA Live with Andrew Pinsent on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
10:18, welcome back. This is CFRA Live. I'm Andrew Pinsent with you until 11 o'clock this morning. Just a note, I'm reminded by Mitch that I am not here for Christy Cameron. It was earlier this week. I said that before the break. Sometimes, yeah, your brain just goes into automatic mode. I know Kyle Fraser grabbed a clip of me one time saying, like, I am the host name that I was filling in for.
It's the worst. I often produce other shows, and then I just put the clips in the wrong folder. So
it's the same idea, but your brain.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it needs more juice. That's why I got some coffee going this morning. It's 10:19. Don't be fooled. In terms of April Fool's Day, we have not amalgamated with the city of Winnipeg. Do not worry. That was one of the April Fool's jokes by the city this morning, tweeting that out. That's Winnipeg. Ottawa and Winnipeg forever, calling it Ottawin. We're packing our bags and getting ready to move. So know that it is not happening. That's an April Fool's Day joke making their rounds this morning. The other one too, and of course it has to involve Ryan Reynolds, is that Ryan Reynolds has bought the Bytown Museum. The Bytown Museum. Tweeting that out this morning with a very Photoshop picture of Ryan Reynolds as well. But that leads me to, we've been talking about this a little bit this morning. Just, what do you make of the Ryan Reynolds kind of visit to Ottawa this week? Making kind of all kinds of news, meeting with the mayor, kind of coming to City Hall. Of course, he's linked to the group that's buying the Sens. We have the NHL commissioner in town. So it's kind of like Ottawa was like a little bit celebrity focused, or we had a little bit of a celebrity crush this week as well. But here's Mayor Mark Sutcliffe on Ryan Reynolds' vision for the Ottawa Senators.
He talked about the potential for the Senators to be a global brand and for this to be the beginning of something really special for our community. So that's very exciting.
So just kind of adding that into the mix of what Ryan Reynolds is doing here. But Mitch, what do you make of this? Just, it turned a lot of heads this week, as Chris Holzke was saying on the panel, right? Just say, you hope, he hopes at least one day you can get to the point where Ryan Reynolds is in town and it is not a news story. But I guess there's so much connected to him right now in terms of the sale of the Sens and some other things that it is kind of difficult not to pay attention to.
Oh, right, everyone's now going crazy over it right now. Ryan Reynolds could sneeze and everybody would lose their minds. Yeah. I mean, it's
maybe on a good day too. Yeah, and then particularly he's like hyper local involved here in Ottawa.
There's Ryan Reynolds mania right now sweeping the city. And you know, that's
Reynolds mania.
That's okay with me. I mean, it'll be interesting to see where this goes.
Well, we're kind of talking about this, and the mayor alluded to it as well, just on the vision of that he has for building the Sens into a bigger brand than what it is in terms of a worldwide brand. We've seen Ryan Reynolds do this with his soccer team, which isn't a Premier League soccer team, right? Wrexham, I don't know, I'm not super huge into soccer, but I know it's not a Premier League team, but it's, you know, a pro soccer team in England that he's kind of marketed after purchasing as well. He's got his gin company. He's, of course, a major actor and looks pretty good while doing it as well. So not too bad there in terms of the how he's been kind of gaining from this as well. But just more, he seems to be turning towards more making things into those brands. And it would be tough to deny that Ryan Reynolds as a kind of brand ambassador for the Ottawa Senators, like, how could you say no to that? And the possibilities that brings, it seems endless on that front.
It's very glamorous and alluring for sure. I mean, yeah, how could you refuse Ryan Reynolds to be your brand ambassador? I mean, it would just make zero sense to not involve him in the deal at this point. He's just the PR as a charismatic frontman. And I mean, even if he's not bankrolling that much of the thing, it just makes sense to include him.
Of course. Of course. And how could you, like you say, how could you not with the following that he's getting as well? And Elsie, we were talking about this a little bit earlier as well, just from the Sens perspective, everything kind of happening at the same time here, and maybe Mitch, you can weigh in on this as well, both of you, but the idea that we've got so many positive things happening surrounding the Sens after Eugene Melnyk had passed, may he rest in peace, bringing him up in conversation. I did notice, very nice, by the way, emblem that they got up in the rafters for him. I was at Sens versus Leafs a couple of weeks ago. Very nice emblem that they have up that they raised to the rafters there as well. But since his death, there has been this move to kind of sell the Sens. There was already talk about moving them downtown. But now you've got kind of Ryan Reynolds attached. You're talking about a development company and kind of building a brand behind this. It seems like everything is kind of coming up right for the Sens right now. It seems like their game to lose.
Yeah, well, I mean, the other thing with the Ryan Reynolds stuff is, like, again, as Chris Holzke mentioning, like the global brand. You know why people can't stand talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs? Because they're everywhere. Yeah. Like, whenever the Leafs go to play a road game, even in, like, a market like Columbus or Nashville or wherever, they always have a crowd of fans that seem to follow them. And I don't know if you remember the Sens Sickos song or whatever. Mm-hmm. That was made by a Sens fan in Missouri.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Who
lives
in a market whose team recently won the Stanley Cup.
Still a fan.
And still a fan of the team. Yeah, exactly. So just like that worldwide attention, just putting the team on the map, that's something that, you know, even in the Battle of Ontario, it's like you're always going to be the little brother to Toronto. You're always second fiddle. Always the bridesmaid, never the bride. And even though the Leafs haven't been the bride in terms of championships. But,
yeah, wow.
I mean, in Don't terms of playoff matchups.
Why'd you have to bring it up? Like,
Leafs,
just such a low
blow for
no reason.
The Leafs are 4-0 all-time in the playoffs against Ottawa. Just saying. You can't deny that as well.
Yeah, no, I was just like, because I'm a Leafs fan, obviously, but the Leafs-Sens rivalry comes up. It's just like, you know, wow, Leafs always win the playoffs. It's like, okay, well, we didn't win anything out of it, so
well,
cool.
And there is also an anecdote to this. Josh Pringle sent along an email and this tweet saying that someone's brother was so hyped by the idea that Ryan Reynolds might buy the Sens that he wrote a children's fairy tale, and apparently the book is actually available on Amazon, and all proceeds are going to the Ottawa Food Bank, so you're also supporting a good cause there. And that's the thing. It's like, sure, you're going to dole out millions of dollars to build a new arena, or to finance an NHL team, or any hockey team, any type of sporting event. But you look at small communities like Pembroke, for example, like Humboldt, for example, the junior hockey teams, they support hardcore like it's their little brother.
Yeah, it's
true. And they're just relentlessly supporting them from the start of the season throughout the offseason. And you saw the worldwide support, unfortunately, for heartbreaking reasons that the Humboldt Broncos got not too long ago. 5 years, in fact, we're getting to that.
Coming up next week.
Yeah, next week when the bus crash happened, and everyone remembers where they were when they probably heard that news. I was working an evening shift, and the way that Canada rallied around that junior hockey team, like not even a major junior hockey team, but still, the amount of support that hockey teams get within those small communities, like it's almost like their NHL franchise, and they'll support it through thick and thin no matter what. You become family. You become attached to those players that are there for a certain period of time. And, you know, in Canada, we had a league similar to that, the Valley Lasers, formerly the Stallions. They've since moved to Renfrew. But that was probably the hottest ticket in town before the Sens arrived as well.
The also spending 5 years in Halifax, right? Like the Mooseheads down there.
Yeah.
Halifax has long pined for an NHL franchise, right?
Anywhere in the Maritimes.
Rink. Yeah, but the Mooseheads fill the rink every night in Halifax, no matter what. So, you know, there is something to be said about properly marketing the team to have the, you know, the community support them. But it seems like, yeah, the Sens have all of that kind of coming up in spades right now. So it seems like a very exciting time, right, for the franchise. It just seems like the sky is the limit right now. And this is just for the future of the franchise, but the team's pretty good too, right? Like they're fighting for a playoff spot right now. This is the first time we kind of had that in a little bit. So I don't know. It's just there's some general excitement around this team right now.
Yeah, and just,
perhaps one day we will not be playing second fiddle to those wonderful Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, and just being involved in the community, like the community aspect and the Sens, the initiatives that they've supported for years and years and years. And, you know, obviously you got like a young cast of characters that are getting in on that and are going to be leading the charge in that department for years to come. And that's one thing that you can't really put into words or put with a dollar sign is how instrumental the players are in and how active they are in their communities. Like imagine all of the kids that they have inspired, that they've come in contact with, and how many stories that have personally affected them. Like, you look at Layla Anderson, for example, during the Blues playoff run, like everyone was rooting for her as well as the team and everything that she was going through. And she was like 11 years old at the time. It's like insane the amount of treatments that she was going through. And she's still out there supporting the team with a Blues patch on the back of her jacket. And she watched her favorite team win the Stanley Cup for the first time ever.
It's a powerful sport. It can be. So,
yeah.
Continuing to hope that the Sens do well here. Yeah. Especially when everything's going to hell. But at 10:29, this is CFRA Live with you until 11 o'clock this morning. Still to get to coming up after the break, talk a little bit more about some April Fool's Day. Let us know if anybody's got you good this morning. We'll recap what's been happening around the city on that front. And just a shout out for Charlotte with the Cumberland Lions today. 52nd fundraiser at the Cumberland Lions on Montreal Road of the Hall. It's Maple Fest. It's happening this weekend. The best pancakes. It's happening all weekend, 8 to 1. You can head out there and support the Lions Club in Cumberland as well. So thank you to that text from Charlotte. You can text us as well. Your thoughts, 580-580. Tweet us at CFRA Ottawa. We'll get to some of those coming up before 11 o'clock this morning. This is News Talk 580 CFRA.
On the go? Take News Talk 580 CFRA Ottawa with you. Download, listen, and learn through the iHeartRadio app. Now back to CFRA Live with Andrew Pinsent.
Welcome back. 10:36. This is CFRA Live. I'm Andrew Pinsent with you. Until the top of the hour, until 11 o'clock here on News Talk 580 CFRA. 1 degree out there. We've got some rain that's pouring all morning here, but the good news is up to a high of 13 degrees, as you heard in the weather forecast, so it's a fantastic weather on the way. Well, mild weather. I don't know about fantastic weather, but at least some mild weather, which is way better than the cold weather we've been experiencing, in my opinion, of course. At 10:37 here on CFRA Live. For the first time, seeing a new poll this week in terms of Nano's trend line, and we'll talk about this a little bit on our CFRA Live Sunday political panel tomorrow as well. But seeing for the first time that federal conservative leader, opposition leader Pierre Poilievre, has passed Justin Trudeau, the prime minister, in popularity for the first time in this trend line that Nanos has kept. It's daily monitoring, or it's weekly monitoring, I should say. So Nick Nanos, head of Nanos Research, saying that all signs showing that the Liberals are losing support.
All of the key indicators are not trending positively for the Liberals. Like, for example, preferred prime minister. Usually whoever is the prime minister has some sort of advantage. Right now, Pierre Poilievre outpolls Justin Trudeau. He's at 29-26.
Conservative brand, according to Nanos, continues to grow.
You know, right now the conservatives score 50 points on the power index, the Liberals 47. NDP at 46, what does that mean? The Liberal and the NDP brand are basically about the same, while the conservative brand is now stronger than both of those.
And if an election were to be held today, the Conservatives would come out on top. They're at 35% nationally, and that's about what it takes to win an election.
You know, at 35% nationally, that's where they are when they win elections. When Stephen Harper won a number of elections, he won because he had a six-point advantage. Right now, the Conservatives have a six-point advantage, and it speaks to the importance of the budget and also the most recent visit from President Biden. Mm-hmm. This trend right now that currently is favoring Pierre Poilievre and the Federal Conservative Party.
It's the latest from Nanos Research when it comes to the trend line. So we'll talk about that a little bit tomorrow. It seems that Pierre Poilievre's brand and the conservative brand are growing nationally. So we'll talk about how that affects the political scene here after the federal budget has been tabled with our CFRA Live Sunday political panel. Also coming up, we'll talk about, on our political panel, I mean, the Han Dong lawsuit that's been filed here against Global News, the latest wrinkle in this foreign interference story, we'll call it, for lack of a better word. But big story obviously coming to a forefront again this week with that happening. Not entirely unexpected. Mr. Dong said he would do that. But we'll see where that leads as well. And one of the big stories coming out this week has been the reaction to the Nova Scotia shooting, the mass shooting back in 2020. A report from the public inquiry into that mass shooting coming out this week and noting a number of RCMP failures. Also calling for a complete overhaul of the RCMP as well. We heard from Michael Kempa earlier on in the show a few hours ago talking about the need for a police overhaul. Chris Lewis is CTV's public safety analyst. He agrees that there's lots of failings for police to ponder here.
Well, it's a real slam to the RCMP and the leadership of the day and the culture in the RCMP, really, that you know they haven't made changes in the past when they should have, particularly come to light in the report today that following the Moncton shooting and murder of three RCMP officers and others injured, there was a detailed report made by a former assistant commissioner in the RCMP but with several recommendations, and they never acted on it or did very little. And you don't need to wait for an inquiry like today to make changes. Things were identified by the RCMP in the Ottawa Freedom Convoy that they looked at changing policy on, but they didn't do a full review of anything that lessons learned following Nova Scotia. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. Like, if it's broken, fix it. Don't wait for someone to tell you to.
It does kind of harken back. I was thinking, you know, just in hearing all of this kind of come to fruition today, but just, you know, the situation in Mayerthorpe years ago as well, where RCMP officers lost their lives because of some inaction behind the scenes as well. Just, is there something about the National Police Force? Is there something about the RCMP here that needs to be seriously looked at? You know, one of these recommendations is a full kind of review of the RCMP, but, you know, what do you make of the lack of progress in some of these areas we've seen in the National Police Force in almost a decade?
Well, it's unacceptable. And, you know, I have many, many good friends in the RCMP, including many at a high level. But for some reason, organizationally, they have fought change. And that certainly doesn't apply to everybody, but organizationally, that culture has been a bit that way. The relationship between the federal government and the RCMP is really weird in that, you know, we've seen the commissioner and the relationship between the outgoing commissioner and the public safety minister and the prime minister, et cetera, you know, and you kind of wonder, you know, from a politically correct perspective, maybe she did things that were what they wanted, but, you know, why didn't they ensure there was policies put in place following Moncton? The Ontario, province of Ontario, the Solicitor General Ministry, puts policies in place and standards that police departments have to adopt in order to be a police service in Ontario. And so what's the relationship of the RCMP and their kind of review board and the federal government around doing that with them? Why hasn't this been done when there's obviously things that need to be fixed? So I think they're in for a real big overhaul and more than we've ever seen in their history.
And particularly when it comes to Nova Scotia as well, I guess, you know, talk about not just management, but also messaging during this as well. Saying the Nova Scotian sense of safety was rocked was one of the commissioner's quotes today. Just how difficult is it for particularly residents of Nova Scotia to be able to rebuild that confidence in the RCMP, which represents a large amount of the policing forefront in Nova Scotia?
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be difficult. It's not an easy thing to recover from. And I know that the officers down there are committed. We heard the interim commissioner speak today in relation to doing better. But, you know, there's some of the things that there have been pointed out in this report around, for example, intimate partner violence and not taking the, you know, what they knew about this guy serious and acting on it. That's been a standard issue in policing right across the country for years. There's been many inquests and whatnot where in most police departments put policy in place to not let that fail. We just saw a recent case in Toronto. Officers are charged because they didn't follow up a domestic dispute that ended up in a victim being killed. But why aren't the RCMP doing that stuff, you know, that other departments are supposed to do? So I don't know. There's just a lot of things that slipped through the cracks on them over the years. But I think one thing we can't lose sight of is that night, there was three or four officers working in a huge geographic area facing the biggest tragic loss of life, including one of their own and another injured, you know, that any department would have a struggle with, let alone three or four people in a large area. So some of the recommendations around evacuation and whatnot, you know, they're true, they're good recommendations, but how do you apply that to three or four officers in the middle of the night that are responding to murder after murder, and including one of their own, you know? So yeah, they need better policy on these things, but even still, with three or four people working, they couldn't have carried out a lot of what's recommended in reality.
And I guess, you know, is that some of the issues here we see, you know, behind the scenes is, you know, we see these recommendations, but how they're followed up on and enacted upon is kind of the key moving forward.
Big time. And they have to be implemented. And there may be some they look at, you know, like some coroner's inquests have recommended the OPP do certain things, and we really had a hard look at it and documented why we couldn't do it. Sometimes it was a legislative issue or whatever, but you at least have to try your best and implement whatever you can. for the betterment of the people of, that you serve and for the betterment of the organization. And so it's important that they do that. You know, the public safety messaging on this was terrible. Obviously, they didn't even notify the public for hours and hours about the fact that guy was driving a Mountie car, and they knew his name and description. But they didn't even tell other police services. Like, it just... some of that is just absolutely unacceptable. And so that's a command decision somewhere in the hierarchy at the time that made poor decisions or didn't make decisions in some cases. A lot of confusion and inactivity where there should have been things. In a terrible situation, I understand that totally.
CTV's public safety analyst Chris Lewis, former OPP commissioner as well, just weighing in my chat with him this week on that release of the Nova Scotia report into that mass shooting back in 2020. Your thoughts, welcome. 580-580, tweet us at CFRA Ottawa, but that will also be part of our CFRA Live Sunday political panel coming up tomorrow as well. Warren Kinsella, Tasha Carradine, and Carl Belanger will join us to go over the top news stories of the week, including that report, 1046 here on CFRA Live. Your text, welcome, as I mentioned, to 580-580, tweet us at CFRA Ottawa. Another story grabbed my eye this week, and producer Mitch's eye as well. Goodwill planning to open more than 40 thrift stores in Canada. Is this a good or a bad thing? Is it just that thrift stores are becoming more popular, or we just have less money to spend? Producer Mitch Kudrowski in the studio. Mitch, good morning. It's been what, like an hour?
It's been a minute.
It's been a little while. But Goodwill planning, as I mentioned, open more than 40 stores over the next 5 years. Is this a good thing? Is it because... what BlogTO is reporting to here is kind of that this is becoming more and more popular. But yeah, I kind of had the flip thought, was just, are you sure? Are you sure we're not doing this because we have to?
Is it out of goodwill? Terrible.
I need a cricket sound. I need to have one of those handy.
Yeah, especially with me producing your show.
I was gonna say, I think it works both ways. But anyway, yeah.
No, I think it's a good thing for the most part. I mean, even thrift stores, you're seeing the prices just shoot up. Like, it's not what it used to be. I feel like, and it hasn't really been since Macklemore, you know, released an album a couple of years ago.
It's not what it used to be back in the 2010 days.
Well, that was in the mid-2010s. That was like, what, 2015? I don't know.
No, thrift shop? I think it was 2011.
Okay, could have been earlier.
Oh, we're going to have to, one of us is going to have to do that. But the other thing is, this is Goodwill. It already operates in Ontario, Alberta, Quebec, so they're opening a number of other stores. It doesn't look like Ottawa has made the list here terms of new stores. But the other thing I was kind of pointing to, too, is people often question, you know, the goodwill, quote unquote, that's happening here, right? I know Value Village has come under kind of scrutiny over the past several years because they're not paying a lot of the money, right? That they don't pay a lot of money out for donations because it's pure donations, right? But then they're selling them. The upsell on the products has just gotten out of control in some cases. So it's not necessarily all going to charity in some cases. There's just going into their pocketbook as well. I mean, so I know they've come under scrutiny for that as well.
Just on the subject of Value Village, I mean, they're owned by a company called Savers, which also owns Walmart. So
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
not out to, I guess, run a charity. They're out to make some money. That's the name of the game. And so I always wondered, too, what a great business model. All of your products, everybody brings to you and gives to you for free. What a great business model. You just have to go through them and put a price tag on them. It's not bad at all. I think it was more some of the claims they were making about some of the proceeds going to charity. I think that's more what it was when it was, in fact, not
right.
Going to charity.
I don't know enough about that. But I do frequent the thrift shops pretty often. And I think because most of my wardrobe really is thrifted because it's much better value. It lasts you longer.
Yeah, I know.
It's cheaper.
And it's just, that's pure Mitch. It's just Mitch, right? It's just, I can't imagine anything else. Of course you would shop at the thrift shops. No, I do too. I think more so, not really for fashion reasons. I don't know, but just, it's been a while since I've been to a thrift store too, but I don't know. You find good deals on very expensive clothes. That's what I find.
Oh,
it's just
yeah.
Like some very good deals. That's what I usually hunt for on that aspect. But in the U.S., right, there's a much better deal on that, like going to some of the outlet stores in the U.S., if you've ever had that experience. I did that once down in Florida, and it's just kind of incredible, but I think that's more what people are looking for, right? That's what I'm looking for anyway. It's just that one thing for a deal.
I love to go and look at the labels of things, because the people who price the things never actually price things correctly. Yeah. I got a pair of $900 shoes for $50 there.
You're lying.
Actually, I think less than 50. I think it was like 20 maybe.
So it's just a matter of just didn't know what they were sitting on type thing?
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Now I'm back on the thrifting train. You've got me on it. I want to find my $100 pair of shoes or $900 pair of shoes. I do not need a $900 pair of shoes, but if they're, you know, you're throwing them at me for $40, I'll take them. Why not? Anyway, 10:50. Your thoughts. 580-582 it is at CFRA Ottawa. Gonna take a quick break here. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the show chat a little bit more here on CFRA Live. This is News Talk 580 CFRA.
Shout and let it all out, and scream and shout and let it out.
Listen anytime, anywhere, through your Apple CarPlay or Android Auto. Now, CFRA Live with Andrew Pinsent continues on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
All right, a few minutes left here on CFRA Live. Just get to a few texts here. Colleen says, before the break, I have to compose myself. I prefer to thrift shop in my local community shops. At least the money goes back into my community of Almer. That's a good point as well. Mm-hmm. You don't want to give your money to like Goodwill or what have you, or the big kind of name brand stores. And the name escapes me. There's one right down the street here in the market at the end. It's a consignment and thrift shop, mainly for women's clothes. And I'm sorry, I'd give you a shout out, but I can't remember your name right now. But definitely some local aspects of that would help too. Another one says, community shops goes back into the community as well. I thought there was another one there, but that's about it. But I don't know, Mitch. It's a rainy day. Maybe go out, have a little shop at the thrift shop.
Have a little thrift. Buy a mothballed overcoat.
I just wanted to point out. I don't know. If this is the Price is Right. I definitely won. I think 2012 is when thrift shop came out. Macklemore.
Okay. All right.
2012.
It's a long time ago.
Yeah, I take a lot of happiness in being right. I'm also crying on the inside that was 11 years ago, and it feels like it was yesterday.
Yeah, I'm screaming on the
inside.
I'm
just getting old, that's all. That's more that I'm concerned about. So, yeah, I'm right, but oh, boy, I'm old. It's a two-faced sword here. Anyway, thank you, Mitch, and thanks for everything today, actually. That's pretty much going to do it for today. Thank you to Mitch Kudrowski and Stephen Ellsworth for everything you heard today. We'll be back with you tomorrow at 6 a.m., of course, to see CFRA Live Sunday Political Panel coming up tomorrow. We've got Jeffrey Johnson with the Kingston Whig Standard with his weekly hit, looking at some issues abroad. Lots to get to tomorrow as well here on CFRA Live from 6 until 11 on News Talk 580 CFRA. I'm Andrew Pinsent. Until next time, Ottawa, stay safe and be well. She did.